called Alternate Energy Building Designs. And if, as efficient use of natural resources becomes more important and electronic costs go down, microcomputers will become more common in our daily lives. An area of immediate application is energy conservation and collection. In some climates, utility bills for heating and cooling may be eliminated by the use of appropriate building design and low-cost microprocessor control systems. The energy losses in most buildings generally occur in the following order of importance. Number one, excess air infiltration and ventilation. Number two, conduction through the roof and walls. Number three, conduction and radiation through the windows. Most of the energy escaping through the roof and walls may be stopped by high-grade insulation. The net energy flow through the windows may be reversed by prudent placement and active control techniques described later. The energy loss through the air change may be reduced by an order of magnitude or turned into a net gain by providing optimum ventilation rates continuously. For buildings in mild winter climates, the required heat input may come entirely from the active windows and incidental sources like appliances and the metabolic heat of the occupants. In areas of severe climatic conditions, fuel requirements for heating and cooling may be reduced by over 83%, making solar energy systems economical for everyone. The target insulation R value of 30 is not difficult to implement in new construction. Existing homes may even be upgraded to this level with plastic insulation. The active windows may consist of double pane glass on south facing walls. Insulation panels or shutters close automatically when solar heating or night sky cooling systems are not operating. These panels have a metallic coating that reflect additional solar energy into the building when they're open. This technique is also suitable to retrofit applications. Most buildings ventilate at about 10 times the recommended rate of 5 cubic feet per minute per person. Reducing ventilation from 250 to 50 cubic feet per minute at an outside temperature differential of 30 degrees Fahrenheit saves 6,400 BTU per hour or 45.5 kilowatt hours per day. This equals about $1.80 per day with electric heating. Energy needed for humidification is not included in this example. Reducing the air change rate further when the building is unoccupied enhances the savings. The microcomputer system functions include, one, monitoring human activity and air quality and providing appropriate ventilation control. The ventilation system may also be used to augment the cooling system in the summertime by cooling the building thermal masses with night air. Two is humidity control. In some climates, humidity control may be necessary. In all climates, relative humidity is an important variable for ventilation control programs. An example of this is people may feel comfortable at 85 degrees Fahrenheit with a low relative humidity because your body's ventilation system works well. Your sweat evaporates easily. You might feel uncomfortable at 70 degrees Fahrenheit with a high relative humidity because your body has trouble cooling. Number three is control of the active windows, solar heaters, or similar devices with data from solar and thermal sensors. Four is providing a readout for the energy status of the building. Of particular interest are building thermal load, stored energy available, and occupancy. This data is also stored for future use. Providing control for any auxiliary functions like wind electric system, backup heaters, lighting circuits, irrigation systems, intrusion alarms, fire sprinklers, or whatever. In the event of a hardware addition or change, the control program may be changed by the supplier or the technical user. The software consists of modular algorithms which can be selected to suit individual applications. The systems use real-time interrupt generators to service the sub-program modules. Override switches and the output circuits are provided for manual control. In case the thing runs amok, you won't be freezing in the middle of the winter. Some system design considerations are building location, power or fuel availability, and building use. Two application examples will be described. The Bangor House is a modest rural dwelling in the Sierra Nevada foothills. It will rely on locally generated electricity. Thermal comfort will be provided by a modified drum wall solar heating system. Could we have slide one? Is that too bright? Do we have too much light here?
Hey, this Bear's house?
Yeah, it sure is. Or one of his houses. It's in New Mexico. It's a good example of an active window system. He raises the panel at night to keep the drums from cooling off in the day that have collected heat during the day. Water. The drums are filled with water. This is the inside of that house. One problem with the Bear house is that he's limited by the amount of energy he can store in those drums because the stored energy is a function of how hot the drums get. And obviously we can't get the drums up to 150 degrees if we're going to be sitting in chairs right next to him. A moderator between the walls and the living space would be a good idea. Okay, I think we can have the lights back now. The rate of energy release in the Bangor house will be controlled by a partition between the drums and the living space. This allows the storage mass to attain greater efficiency by using higher differential temperatures. A CMOS logic system was chosen for its low power consumption and high reliability. This system will use ultrasonic motion sensors to determine occupant activity and ventilation requirements. Humistors will monitor the relative and differential humidity. Thermistors will check temperatures of the solar storage drums and air temperatures. A solar cell will provide data on available solar energy. Magnetic reed switches will indicate the position of the active window panels. On the output side, model aircraft type servos will actuate ventilation louvers and control the draft of a backup wood-burning stove. Relays will control the window panel drive motors. The system designed for PDM associates provides some contrast to the rural Bangor dwelling. PDM contracted the renovation of two condemned buildings situated in an older urbanized location. We can go to slide three now. Can we have the lights down again, please? These are the buildings before they were torn down. They were built around the turn of the century, and there's some pretty old materials in there. PDM decided to try to recycle as much as they could here. Work is nearing completion on the building and its modified roof pond solar energy system. This is a more recent photo. You can see the subterranean slab and the 8-inch thick walls. They're starting work on the roof now. A proposed use for this building is an alternative energy devices outlet and office space. The Fairchild microcomputer was selected for this application because it has an I/O-oriented architecture and is suitable for decimal number handling for the status readouts. This is in Chico, California. The data acquisition section features a unique analog digital conversion scheme. Could I have the transparency, Bob, and could we dump that slide? A resistor type digital to analog converter is driven directly from a PSU I/O port. This is a program-controlled analog reference signal. It's using the F8 microcomputer system, and there's two chips to the computer. We're using one quad comparator chip to determine when the analog signals go high. Those are also fed directly to the PSU I/O port. PSU, by the way, is a 1K ROM, which is essentially our program storage. The port is sampled each time the digital to analog converter is incremented. With all the control functions generated by the CPU, a simple multi-channel medium speed analog to digital converter is realized. Are there any questions about this analog digital system at this time? Everybody can read. We're showing a four-bit system. It could be easily expanded to 8-bit accuracy.
You're using this ROM to generate some sort of analog digital.
The CPU generates a digital value between 1 and 256. This is outputted to the I/O port that is part of the RAM, or I'm sorry, part of the ROM, part of the PSU. And that port drives a resistor ladder network that whose output voltage will be a value from 0 to 1 volt depending on the digital value being outputted to it from the I/O port. This voltage is compared with the input analog signals from the sensors. When one of the analog signals is lower than the reference, the comparator sends a high signal to the other I/O port. And when the program sees that the I/O port status changed from the comparators, it stores the value of the counter in memory. Yes?
Are you time sharing this among many sensors?
There's four sensors on this system here. We have four comparators that are running in parallel. So it's not really time share. There's actually four conversions occurring in parallel.
What sort of things are you monitoring with this?
We're looking at humistors, thermistors, and in the case of the PDM building, a gas sensing electrode, which detects CO2.
What's the settle time for that?
I really don't know. I think we're doing 10 conversions per second, 10 8-bit parallel conversions per second. I'm not sure what the settling time of the comparators is. The sensors of the Bangor house are duplicated in the PDM building. However, the dynamic occupancy characteristics of a commercial building mandate the use of additional sophisticated sensors, such as the gas transducers, to determine air quality. The prototype systems cost thousands of dollars. Even at these costs, the energy saved can pay for the system in about 6 years. As production and standardization evolve, some systems will sell for a few hundred dollars. Some problems associated with systems of this kind are, one, lack of local maintenance facilities, especially in remote areas. This problem is minimized somewhat by the use of a two-card system with removable program storage units. These components may be changed and returned through the mail by the user. About 20 minutes each month is required for cleaning the sensors and lubricating the actuator drive mechanisms. Two is non-standard installations. Since building and climatic conditions vary greatly, a standard software design may be impractical in a lot of cases. Three is the excess ventilation. Air infiltration rates low enough for periods of low ventilation requirements may be hard to obtain. This is especially true in older buildings and at windy locations. Double door vestibule type entries and vapor barriers in all exterior walls are required. Some manufacturers are claiming good results with sealant and paint type coatings. Special attention must also be given to window seals to reduce infiltration around the edges. We have the slide projector back up now. This slide shows one of the more expensive collector designs traditionally associated with solar energy. This is a classic, the Thomason House. I believe it's back east somewhere. One of the first solar energy houses to get a lot of exposure. It uses a trickle system and a rock mass storage. This building uses another example of an external storage collector system. It's another building familiar to probably several of you. Well, it uses copper collectors, which are indeed expensive. This is a building in Colorado. I believe it's on a Colorado State campus. It shows good use of south wall windows, and they're using solar cells on the roof, which at present is really expensive. Does anybody recognize that? The building uses an integrated spherical reflector to focus, which focuses energy on a movable sphere collector. I'm not sure. I might be able to get that data for you after the presentation and dig through my notes possibly. I think it's also in Colorado. But he uses a collector that tracks the focal point of the sun, and I don't think the collector is shown in that picture. These dome structures obtain 100% of their energy from the sun and the wind. I believe this is New Mexico. The back or north side of this building uses a sod roof. Note the maximum exposure area on the south wall. This is a picture of the Harold Hay Skytherm House in Atascadero, California. He uses movable insulation panels and waterbed type thermal storage on the roof. This greenhouse uses a bead wall. Styrofoam balls are blown in between those glass panels on the wall there at night when they want to minimize the heat loss. They use a vacuum cleaner type air blower to move the beads around. This is another PDM Associates building in Chico. It uses active collectors, however, and I also understand he's not real pleased with the external copper collector type systems that he has there. This is a picture of the owner just before a visit from the building inspector. Actually, the county and state building codes people have been very cooperative with any of the solar structures we've put up in the north part of the state. This is an inside view. Well, this is another home. This is a home by Living Systems. They're out of Davis, California. This home is similar to the Harold Hay roof pond in that it does use a roof pond, but it uses a reflective insulation rather than a sliding insulation panel. This is an inside view of the house we just saw. You can note the significant structural bracing in the roof to support the water ponds. The same building again. Now we're looking at the south windows. By the way, that Franklin stove I think is a rather inefficient device, but you can see they're in a grove, so they really don't have to worry too much about fuel. This is another Living Systems house in Chico. They use an active skylight. You can see it on the right there. You can also see corrugated culvert that they use for water thermal storage. Inside view of the same building. This building isn't quite completed yet, however, the people have moved in. They still have some decorating to do so that it won't look quite so much like a highway maintenance storage facility or something. That's the roof reflector drive mechanism.
What are the corrugated columns?
They're thermal masses, thermal storage. They have water in them and they serve the same purpose as the 50-gallon drums in the drum wall building. Okay, Bob, just turn that projector off. Can we have the lights again, please? So in summary, by structurally integrating the building and the energy collector storage system and utilizing intelligent control techniques, great thermal efficiency and economy should be realized. The increase in system efficiency made possible by high technology controls is essential to the simplification of the overall system. This allows substantial reduction of solar hardware. For many buildings in California, recurring fuel costs for heating and cooling can be practically eliminated without a gross investment in hardware. Are there any questions?
Yes.
Yes.
You mentioned that the prototype system that you're developing for these two houses working on are in the range of thousands or a couple of thousand each or something like that. And you're claiming that they can go down to about a couple of hundred. What's your computer versus sensor costs, and what's the projection on the reduction in sensor costs, which I imagine are going to be the thing, which I imagine A is the things that are the most expensive, and B, they won't go down in cost too much.
I think you're right about that. The computer hardware right now is costing us about $25 for active components, and probably another $5 or $10 for passive components. The real cost of the system at this point is, of course, the software, time to write the programs and test the functions and so forth. The sensors are really expensive, but we're seeing a lot of movement in that area right now. One example is the smoke detectors in your home. Those are, up until recently, were pretty sophisticated sensors, and now their price is coming way down and are becoming widely available. In the future, we expect those sensors to become accurate to the extent that we may possibly be able to use them in our application. The gas sensing electrode that we're using in the PDM building is a $200 sensor, and so it far outweighs the cost of the computer. Yes?
Is your processor basically underutilized? In other words, is it mostly idle at the same time?
Yeah, it is.
You can do it for other things.
Sure. We're sampling the analog sensors right now about once every 10 seconds.
What's the CPU usage on this?
Pardon me?
You figured it was idle most of the time. Do you have a percentage on that?
No, I really can't say. In fact, that's something that might change from installation to installation. We've only got one building up now. In fact, the PDM building isn't even completely up yet. The system is going to have to be run for a few months in there before we can really get some good data in that area. Yes? Yes, that's true. We don't like incandescent. We try to stay away from it. We're looking a lot at skylights, and however, at night they're not very effective. Yes?
The system you're describing is an active energy system or energy conservation system. Is there any work done in the existing or traditional
could you rephrase that? Are you relating it to commercial buildings rather than residential buildings?
Residential buildings. Speaking specifically of residential buildings, the existing hot water heater, gas furnace, etc.
Conventional air conditioning.
I suppose you could interface to that. I don't know that it would really provide you with a great deal more efficiency, with the exception of minimizing the energy losses through the inactive ventilation systems that we use. Today we pretty much rely on brute force ventilation to ensure clean air, and so we're really wasting the majority of our energy goes out the house in through the air leaks that are inherent to most of the buildings. Yes?
What do you use to measure airflow in these
systems? We use some thermistor heater type devices, but they're not real accurate, they're not calibrated, but they do let us know. Right. They're self-heated, and then we measure the change in current as they're cooled by a moving air mass. Yes?
Regarding the system you mentioned that uses a CMOS system, CMOS computer system, which processor was that?
Well, that system's still under design, and we've been working with the COSMAC. However, we're hoping that somebody will come up with an architecture that might be a little simpler for us to use. We're not really sure about the COSMAC yet. We haven't spent enough time with it to become real familiar with it. Any other questions? Okay, I'd like to ask a few of you. Has anyone here ever programmed with the F8 before? Aha, definitely not a hobbyist machine. One person? Maybe? Or the COSMAC, has anyone done any work with the COSMAC? I'd like to speak with you after the session, if you don't mind sticking around. Has anyone done anything with energy systems? Would you like to share some of the things that you've done?
I don't have anything presentable here. I've talked to you.
Okay. And no one else has anything they want to talk about in energy systems? You want my address?
It's in the program.
Phone number is area code 916-342-6102. I work with PDM Associates, which is a kind of a strange organization. It consists of university instructors, students, construction tradesmen, and just about anybody else around Chico that's interested in solar energy. And I also do an industrial consulting thing for Microbyte Computers in Chico, and a microcomputer software hardware agency. Yes?
Have you had any trouble with the earthquake standards on the water storage systems?
Living Systems has done most of the work with the water storage. Their systems do meet the earthquake standards. They apparently have run tests on these culverts. They've epoxied them to the cement and seen what it's taken to pull them over, and they've performed really well. Okay. All right, I've got a few more slides if anybody would like to stick around for them, and then I'll talk with people who would like to speak to me. We have the projector again, Bob, and the lights. These are some research devices that were constructed about 15 years ago in Florida, I believe. But they're typical of the flat plate tube type collector design.
Still operating?
I don't know. Here's another cute design where an aluminum panel, absorber panel, is compression bonded to a copper tubing. Again, a rather expensive but traditional system. I'm not sure where this comes from. Looks like they're still constructing. Here's some mass-produced collector sandwich wafer panels. This is one of the larger collectors that's been built in the recent years. This person is demonstrating a parabolic type reflector collector. And it looks like he's using plastic pipe that's painted black, which I don't know if I feel very good about. These are the FAFCO swimming pool type collectors that probably some of you have installed on your swimming pools, particularly if it's been built within the last year and you can't get it hooked up to gas.
So this thing's hollow?
They're an extrusion with square channels. No, it flows through them. They're a sandwich type panel. I understand price-wise they're pretty effective as long as you don't need a temperature greater than about 80 or 90 degrees, because they won't take the high temperatures. The plastic will break down. You can't put a glass surface over them or they'll get too hot. Question? In 1 year?
Approximately. They've got a lifetime of about a year, though.
This is true. The bubble pack has somewhere between 2 months and a year of life expectancy in the sunlight. On the other hand, if your season is 4 months, you've got a good chance of getting through a season. For our pool, for example, the cover of the bubble pack, if it lasts the season, will cost us a shade under $200. It will save us about $2,000 in gas. For home installation, divide those numbers by four, maybe you have some idea. Now, if you want to go first class on pool covers, you can buy stuff for about 50 cents a foot, which is presumably somehow treated or radiation, not radiation proof, but long life.
Ultraviolet stabilized.
The life expectancy is probably 3 or 4 years on those, kind of roughly, and they pay off in about a year. a view of energy use, you feel a little nicer about these. Also, these things, you can put them up and run them. A floor cover, you've got to drag on and off every time you open the pool.
Thank you. This is a mold made of cement. It's coated with some type of anti-sticking compound. And this person pours styrofoam into this mold and lays pipes in those channels and comes out with an integrated insulator collector. And I have never seen one in real life, and I don't know if he's ever even made one, but he looks like he's pretty excited about it. This is a trickle collector made from corrugated sheet roofing. See the water trickling down. It's a very simple design, very popular with a lot of people who haven't built very many collectors, but you can also see quite a bit of reflection coming off that water surface, and that might indicate less than optimum efficiency. I don't know where this one comes from, but that's a rock storage bin in front of that collector there. This, I believe, is another prototype collector. It's an air collector with black material veins in between the front glass and the back that air flows through and gets heated from. Air, however, has really got a low thermal storage capability and so consequently doesn't make a very efficient collecting fluid. This is a beer can collector. You knew that there was some use for those beer cans that have been stacking up in the back porch. I think so.
Is there a mass on the back of
them? No, I don't think so. I think it's just, it could be. I could look in the notes if anybody's concerned about that. I think it might be water in the back. Yeah, it looks like that barrel up there is some kind of storage.
Beer cans are all painted black?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of up the radiated surface?
Up the heat loss?
Yeah.
I would imagine so. Black paint's not the best solar collector coating at all. I wonder if that boy is showing us the rock that's in the drum or showing us the rock that's going to be on the collector. It looks like this person has got a pet rock population explosion or something.
Like that.
Collector fluid? I wouldn't know. Oh, I know that oil has less thermal storage capacity than water does. However, it can be used at a lot higher temperatures, too. In fact, on the Chico State campus, there's an oil collector system that's very interesting. This person's using rock storage in his greenhouse. This person is using plastic Clorox bottles filled with water. This bin, this is the front of his house, looking at it from outside. And those black plastic sheets on the windows heat air, and that air is ducted into this storage area that he's insulating. These are some collectors in Nevada, and buried beneath these collectors are water storage, I believe, that is used to heat the houses in the background. It also looks like a rather extraneous design, complex. It's another roof collector. I believe it's a trickle system. I'm not sure where this building is. This is part of a movable insulation collector. I think it's an experimental model that was put up in Arizona. Well, let's see. It's obviously not in there straight, but that is an absorption cooling device that provides air conditioning from solar energy collected from orthodox type collectors. This is a solar still. It's a rather attractive vegetable dryer. This is a sky lid. The person who's familiar with Bayer will probably recognize it. It uses canisters filled with Freon that when the sun shines on one, the Freon vaporizes and goes over to the other one, causing a shift in the center of gravity, which makes the flaps open. When the sun goes away, the reverse occurs and the flaps close. Definitely a competitor to an active control system. Has some pretty low maintenance possibilities. Another collector, I don't know where. This building has been sprayed on the outside with polyurethane foam. It's plastic, essentially, plastic insulation coated on a building that's been constructed for some time. Yeah, I hope not. I really don't know. I guess if it was a brick building, it probably wouldn't be such a bad deal, but if it was wood, I don't think I'd care to fall asleep in it.
This stuff now reflakes off on the UV after a while, though.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, you have to probably, it might even be cement trowel on over it.
Yeah, could be. I suppose there's some coating that you could get to make it UV resistant. This is the back wall of another building. I don't know what it is. I think that's in Florida. It's a typical installation of an Orthodox type solar heating system with the collector, active collectors on the roof and the thermal storage masses in the cellar, the backup heating system. You can see it's rather complex, a lot of somewhat expensive hardware involved with it. I believe this is the copper collector that we saw on a house that we were looking at earlier. A home in Southern California, which is part of a solar energy powered housing tract. This person's big commercial push was own your own utility system. And that system's been functioning for a couple of years. I'm not sure how the people feel about it. It looks like a rather costly system, but it still could be cheaper than renting your comfort from the utility companies. Thank you.